नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। कंटिन्यूइंग आवर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर नंबर 6 चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड द यदु डायनेस्टी रिटायर्स टू प्रभास टेक्स्ट नंबर 15 अस्य असि हेतु उदय स्थिति संयमानां अव्यक्त जीव महतां अपि कालं आहु सो यम त्रिनाभिर अखिलापचये प्रवृत्तः कालो गभीररय उत्तम पुरुषस् त्वं अस्य सुहेतुरुदय स्थिति संयमानाम् अव्यक्त जीव महताम् अपि कालमाहु सोऽयं त्रिनाभिरखिलापचय प्रवृत्त कालो गभीररय उत्तम पुरुषस्त्वम् अस्यासि हेतुरुदय स्थिति संयमानाम् अव्यक्त जीव महतामपि कालमाहु सोऽयं त्रिनाभिरखिल पचय प्रवृत्त कालो गभीररय उत्तम पुरुषस्त्वम् अस्यासि हेतुरुदय स्थिति संयमानाम् अव्यक्त जीव महतामपि कालमाहु सोऽयं त्रिनाभिरखिलापचये प्रवृत्त कालो गभीररय उत्तम पुरुषस्त्वम् Mataji's. Mataji's. What word? Asya. Of this universe. Asi. You are. Hetu. The cause. Udaya. Of the creation. Stiti. Maintenance. Samyamanam and annihilation. Avyakta, of the unmanifest material nature. Jiva, the individual living beings. Mahatam, and of the Mahatattva. With the manifest elements evolved from it. Api, also. Kalam, the controlling time factor. Ahu, you are said to be. Saayam, this same personality. Trinabihi, appearing as a wheel. With circumference divided into three parts. The year divided into 4 month seasons. Akhila, of everything. Apachaye, in affecting the diminution. Pravrittaha, engaged. Kalah, the time factor. Gabira, imperceptible. Rayah, the movement of which. Uttama Purushah, the supreme personality of Godhead. Tvam, you are. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. You are the cause of the creation, maintenance and destruction of this universe. As time, you regulate the subtle and manifest states of material nature and control every living being. As the threefold wheel of time, you diminish all things by your imperceptible actions, and thus you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. The word Gabhira Raya, or imperceptible speed and power, is significant. We observe that by the laws of nature, all material things, including our own bodies, gradually disintegrate. Although we can pursue the long-term results of this aging process, we cannot experience the process itself. For example, no one can feel how his hair or fingernails are growing. We pursue the cumulative result of their growth, but from moment to moment we cannot experience it. Similarly, a house gradually decays until it is demolished. From moment to moment we cannot perceive exactly how this is happening. But in the course of longer intervals of time, we can actually see the deterioration of the house. In other words, we can experience the results or manifestations of aging and deterioration. But as it is taking place, the process itself is imperceptible. This is the wonderful potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His form of time. The word Trinabhi indicates that according to astrological calculation of the sun's movement, the year can be divided into three sections. The words Uttama Purusha or Purushottama is explained in Bhagavad Gita 15.18. Yasmat sharamatitoham aksharadapi chottamaha. Atosmi loke vedecha pratitha purushottamaha. Because I am transcendental, beyond both the fallible and the infallible, and because I am the greatest, I am celebrated both in the world and in the Vedas as that Supreme Person. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Miritam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamsha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Itinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Vaschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You are the cause of the creation, maintenance and destruction of this universe. As time you regulate the subtle and manifest states of material nature and control every living being. As a threefold wheel of time, you diminish all the things by your imperceptible actions. And thus you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hare Krishna. So welcome all of you for today morning Srimad Bhagavatam class. We are discussing from a very interesting chapter. This is from 11th Canto, Chapter 6. Wherein the demigods are lined up and they are requesting Lord Krishna that his time is over in this material world. So it's an amazing thing why Krishna has to be reminded. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, from me our remembrance, forgetfulness comes. And here demigods are reminding Krishna that your time is up. Why? Because it's an important factor to understand that Krishna is in the material world, but Krishna is absorbed in something else. Like for example, recently, some year back, got a chance to go to Vrindavan. And we went to a holy place called as Sheshashayi Vishnu. That's in near Koshi, around an hour and a half drive from Krishna Balaram temple. So beautiful pastime, which illustrates this point of why Krishna has to be reminded. So Krishna was enacting his Raspila pastime in that place. And suddenly Krishna vanished, disappeared. So the gopis were in anxiety. Why? Where is Krishna? Where has he gone? And within some time, Krishna again appeared back in the Ras Lila arena. So all the gopis, including Srimati Radharani, asked Krishna, where had you gone? Suddenly you disappeared while everything was going so good in this Ras Lila. So Krishna said, what can I do? How can I enjoy when my devotee is suffering? So all the gopis ask, your devotee is suffering? We are enjoying here with you in Ras Lila. But you may be enjoying but some other devotee was suffering. Who is that devotee? And Krishna mentions, there is one devotee of mine. Just like there are so many dvipas, you know, Jambu dvip and this dvip, Lakshya dvip, there is one Shaka dvip. On that dvip, on a mountain, is one of my devotees whose name is Asurari, sage Asurari. So he was doing his meditation there. So what happened to him? Then Krishna gave an elaborate discussion, the description, that actually the Shaka dvip, just like our this whole planet which we have ocean of salt. So there are different types of ocean in different dvipas. So Shakodip is surrounded by ocean of yogurt, dahi. So Krishna mentioned to gopis that, you know, when the breeze, the wind blows, here it carries saltiness because it's salt water ocean. But there it carries the moisture filled with yogurt. So as a result, the mountain on which Asurari Muni was doing his japa, dhyana, meditation on me, that mountain in due course of time becomes slippery. So this Asurari Muni was trying to climb down from the mountain, and it was a slippery mountain. He didn't have bata chapal. So he was getting down, and he slipped. And he slipped and fell in the ocean of yogurt. You can just imagine ocean of yogurt. In the ocean of salt you slip, it's so difficult to come out, you know, swim also. But in the ocean of yogurt, if you fall down, what will happen? So he was chanting loudly, Krishna, please save me, Krishna, please save me. So Krishna said, how can I enjoy with you? My devotee is suffering. So I immediately left all of you. I picked him from the ocean of yogurt and put him back on the mountain. And then he mentioned, since I went so far, almost to ocean of yogurt, close to that is ocean of milk. So I decided, let me go and visit Lord Vishnu, Shirodakshaya Vishnu, pay a visit to him, say hi, hello to him. So I went and saw him, also came back. So the gopis and Radharani, they saw each other and they just clapped and they laughed loudly. And they say, every time you make a mischief, you have some lie to tell, you know. Said, you always create new stories. And you think that we, even though we are very simple ladies, we will even understand or even agree with that. Don't cheat us. Tell us very clearly where you went. So I am really telling you truth. I went to protect my devotee Asurari Muni, and from there I went to ocean of milk, met Lord Vishnu and came back. We cannot believe you, the gopis said. So Krishna said, okay, no problem. If you don't believe my words, I will show you myself. How Lord Vishnu was lying on the ocean of milk. And Lord Krishna saw very close by, there was a beautiful sarovar, a pond. And Lord Krishna said, this pond is non-different from Kshir Sagar, the ocean of milk. And here you will see me as Lord Vishnu, residing on Sheshanag. And Balaramji was there nearby, immediately became Sheshanag, lying on the water of this sarovar. And Krishna manifested as Lord Vishnu and sleeping on the Sheshanag. Then Radharani saw there is someone missing there, Lakshmi Devi. Then she took the form of Lakshmi Devi and she went on a Sheshanag and she was massaging the feet of Lord Narayan. So this beautiful pastime enunciates that how Krishna's main task is to protect his devotees. In fact, here also we can see the gopis and Radharani, were not at all in awe and reverence after hearing that Krishna went to Shakyamuni. In fact, they wanted to test Krishna. Are you saying lies? What a difference. Krishna in Vrindavan and Krishna here in Dwarka. Here all of the devotees are in awe and reverence. The demigods are coming in awe and reverence. Oh Krishna, please, now time is over. Move out. You have to go back to your spiritual world. And there in Vrindavan, no one wants to leave Krishna. Apparently, when Krishna is about to leave from Vrindavan to Mathura, they don't want, and they are just anticipating Krishna will come back again. That is the bhav in Vrindavan, that is the bhav in Dwarka. There is awe and reverence, and there is very much closeness, epitome of closeness. So, the demigods are here in awe and reverence. What are they asking Krishna? Krishna, your time is up. You have to move out. Why? Why Krishna has to be reminded? Because even though Krishna is duty bound, he comes here. That's his duty. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya dushkritam. That's his duty. Sambhavami yuge yuge. Mridayanti yuge yuge. He comes duty bound to protect his devotees, to annihilate the miscreants, re-establish religion. That's his duty bound nature. But apart from duty bound, he is also devotee bound. And devotee bound nature of Krishna takes over his duty bound nature. And Krishna forgets his duty. Like for example, this is not the only time when demigods have to come and remind Krishna or Krishna's incarnation. Time and again, demigods have to intervene to see that Krishna's pastimes keeps on going right as per the script. As per the script. Sometimes it may happen that the person who wrote the script in drama may get absorbed, forget the script. Happens sometimes. I remember one time many years back when I was in school and we were doing a drama in the annual day function. And one of my friends was the director of the drama. He wrote the whole script. He did the whole play, you know. Everyone's doing perfect role. He was overseeing. But we said that, why don't you also act? He said, okay, because you're all saying, so I will do a special appearance role. I'll come the last time. Just 2 minutes, two dialogue, and then I will be there on the side. So we all agreed. So we started a play. The play was getting good. And the director was sitting on the side and observing the whole play. This director got absorbed in his own play. He forgot the script. He was absorbed in the play. The time came for him to make an appearance. He forgot. And the drama suddenly stopped. Because the next actor was not coming. It's a very, very important role, you know. And he is not making his entry. So suddenly drama stopped. And he was thinking, what happened? You know, the mic is working, everything is working. Why they stopped? And the director completely forgot. And one actor had to say loudly, where are you? Suddenly, you know, where are you? It was not a dialogue. But just to make it feel, where are you? And the director woke up. Oh, it's my time. Then he entered. Then he entered the scene, but he forgot his dialogue. Because he was so absorbed. And then somebody had to speak his dialogue and the drama continued. So material world, if the director can forget getting absorbed in his own script, can't Krishna do that? Can Krishna be bound by not happening with him? Krishna also gets absorbed in his script. In Ramayana it is mentioned that Lord Ram was in Ayodhya and Lord Ram was wonderfully passing his days in Ayodhya. And suddenly Dasharatha Maharaj, out of nowhere, he decided the next day will be Lord Ram's Rajyabhishek. Lord Ram said, okay, Bhakta Vatsal, whatever you say, my father, I'll do that. Everyone was preparing for Rajyabhishek. Just a night remaining and the next day was Ram's Rajyabhishek. The demigods became concerned. This is not in the script. If Lord Ram becomes a king here, he has to go to Ravan and kill him. So what to do? But demigods were very intelligent. They knew Krishna's duty-bound nature. Krishna's devotee-bound nature is more than the duty-bound. So the demigods had already arranged some agents in Ayodhya. It is mentioned by Acharyas that Mantra also was an agent. She was actually an Apsara. She was an agent there. So then she was instigated. She became the catalyst. Overnight she poured out her envy to Kaikeyi. And then Kaikeyi overnight became convinced. Strange. Kaikeyi was so much loving mother to Lord Ram. How she got convinced? It was all orchestrated and demonstrated by the demigods. It had to happen. And one night, without anyone knowing, next day morning everyone gets up for the Rajabhishek and they see Lord Ram walking out. So this is demigod. They intervene and see that Lord Ram's pastimes go as per the script. Then Lord Ram goes, walks in the forest, 14 years of exile. He is in Chitrakoot. Such a nice place. Sita Devi likes that place. Everyone likes that place. And Lord Ram forgets that he has to move. 11 years or 14 years is in Chitrakoot. Now demigods are again concerned. Only 3 years remaining. From Ayodhya he has only gone Chitrakoot. From Chitrakoot he has to go to Sri Lanka. Next 3 years. How to do that? So they are planning and they instigate. And Lord Ram makes fast journey to Dandakaranya and then Shurpanaka comes and Kumbhakaran comes and finally Sita is kidnapped. Sita is kidnapped. In next 3 years, within short time, Lord Ram jumps and goes to Lanka to see her. So Krishna or Ram is devotee bound. That's the point being covered here. So Krishna has to be also reminded here. That because Krishna is more into bhakta vatsalya mode. I remember a discussion which I heard in a class about Lord Shiva and Parvati having a discussion. This is in Skanda Puran. This devotee is mentioning that Skanda Puran is the biggest Puran of all Puranas. You know? Almost like 55,000 verses in Skanda Puran. It's all about Parvati Devi asking questions to Lord Shiva. You can just imagine if Parvati Devi and Lord Shiva are having no house in Kailash, what they must be doing? Skanda Puran, 55,000 verses, discussing about what is Krishna, who is Lord Vishnu, all about Krishna Katha. So either they are doing Krishna Katha, or either they are doing meditation on Lord Krishna. So Parvati Devi asked a question to Lord Shiva, Lord Vishnu, where does he take shelter? Lord Shiva smiled. And he says, thank you very much for this question. This question was also asked in previous Kalpa by Narad Muni himself to Lord Vishnu. And this comes in Vishnu Puran. So there is a question where Narad Muni is going to Lord Vishnu and says, Lord Vishnu, all your devotees take shelter in you. All the demigods take shelter in you. The whole universe takes shelter in you. What about you? Where do you take shelter? So Lord Vishnu smiled and then he quoted this famous verse which comes in Bhagavatam also in Ambarish Maharaj's prasanga in that story. Naham tishtami vaikunte yoginam hridayeshuva yatra gayanti madbhakta tatra tishtami narada. So this story comes from Vishnu Puran. So Lord says to Narad Muni that maybe you will not find me in Vaikuntha. Maybe you may not find me in yogi's heart. Yatra gayanti mad bhakta tatra tishtami narada. Wherever my devotees are there, they're remembering me, they're absorbed in me, I am there. So where is Krishna? Where is Lord Narayan? He is there, devotee bound. To that place where his devotees are intensely remembering him. That's Krishna's special nature. And here we see in this pastime now we're dealing with how the demigods, who are also Krishna's devotees, so they also came with some petition to Krishna. That Krishna, you have to wind up. And Krishna is going to hear that petition because Krishna is Bhakta Vatsal. But it's a unique petition. The petition instigating Krishna, Krishna wind up. Krishna wind up your Yadu dynasty. Strange, is it not? Devotees are asking Lord Bhagavan, aap chalo, baki sabko bhi leke chalo. And to felicitate this whole thing, Krishna is now going to start his amazing Maushala Leela. What is Maushala Leela? Looks very simple name, Maushala Leela. But in English it is called as killing pastime of Yadu dynasty. He is going to destroy his own dynasty. It's amazing. Someone may ask, why should Krishna kill? He is supreme personality of Godhead. He should just smile and give benediction, Ashirvad. Why should he kill? But people do not know that Krishna's killing is also unique. Even though Krishna killed his own Yadu dynasty or Krishna has killed so many demons, Krishna's killing is unique. Throughout 11th canto, which contains many chapters on Krishna's annihilating his own dynasty, all our acharyas, Jiva Goswami, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, Saru Thakur, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, they give unlimited reasons why Krishna arranged this Moshala Leela. In one class where I was hearing all this reason, one very unique reason just struck me was that Krishna, whatever he does, is amazing. So this devotee was mentioning a beautiful quote. He was quoting a bhajan of Shripad Vallabhacharya. Madhuram. Adharam madhuram, vadanam madhuram. Nayanam madhuram, hasitam madhuram. So this whole bhajan, Shripad Vallabhacharya is saying that everything about Krishna is madhuram, sweet. Krishna is smiling is madhuram. Krishna's walking is madhuram. That is Krishna's gait. In fact, Krishna's gait is so madhuram, he doesn't walk like ordinary people. There are some temples in South India where Krishna, when he goes on palki, palanquin, they go not straight. We have seen palki, they go straight. They go in a unique way. Sometimes it is called as gajagati. So they move like an elephant. The whole palki moves like an elephant, like this. Sometimes sarpagati. So they do like this, like this, like this, like this. Gajagati, sarpagati, and then some other gati, you know. My mati is gone. So many gatis. I went to Srirangam. So in Srirangam I saw this procession. Unique way, you know, how Lord is going. So Lord's walking is madhuram. Lord's dancing is madhuram. Lord danced on the hoods of Kaliya, slippery portion. And he was dancing so nicely. All the demigods came on the skyways. And so Krishna is dancing without a music. So that is, let's accompany him. So they're trying to play mridanga. Very difficult. Because Krishna's taal was different taal. It was not the normal taal. Two taal, teen taal, char taal, paanch taal. So they were not able to actually facilitate that dancing. Then Apsaras thought, let us imitate. Let us see how Krishna is dancing. And catch up some steps. We can also dance later. So they began to dance. But they couldn't dance. They said, forget about imitating. Let's just watch this dancing and get purified. Krishna's dancing is madhuram. Krishna's playing flute is madhuram. And Vallabhacharya says, everything about Krishna, madhura dipater akhilam madhuram. Everything about Krishna is madhuram. In fact, our acharya has mentioned, not just apparent smiling, dancing, playing flute. Even apparently little different activities is also madhuram of Krishna. Krishna steals, that's also madhuram. It's not a normal activity of stealing. But that stealing is so madhuram that devotees want to hear these pastimes of Krishna stealing of butter, yogurt. Now, Acharya has mentioned, we have a tendency of stealing in our heart. That stealing tendency will go away after hearing the stealing pastimes of Krishna. Then Krishna leaves the battlefield near Mathura and he runs away. Then he gets the name Ranchod. But that's also madhuram. There's a beautiful temple in Dakur. Krishna's running away is madhuram. Krishna's dancing with gopis, you know, in dead of the night. That's also madhuram. That becomes rasa leela. So everything about Krishna is madhuram. Why not Krishna's killing? It's also madhuram. Therefore, this is sixth chapter. The actual pastime of Krishna's annihilating the dynasty of Yadus comes in 30 and 31st chapter. At the end of 31st chapter of narrating the whole pastime, Shukdev Goswami says to Parikshit Maharaj, anyone who hears this pastime of Krishna and his exploits of Krishna, he says there, that such a person will get transcendental loving service to Krishna and he will get liberation from all of his sins. So Krishna's killing also is madhuram. Quite amazing. In fact, it's quite a coincidence also. I'm just thinking, we are discussing Krishna's ending pastime. And we are now also ending our own 2017 pastime. Is it not? We are almost at the end of the year. So the outside world is discussing about year ending, how to celebrate 2017. And we are celebrating Krishna's own ending, his pastimes. So 2017 ending, Krishna's pastimes ending, are they same? No. Bhagavata mentions they are not same. Our Acharya's quotations, they are not same. Bhagavatam says, with every rising and setting of sun, what happens? You are one day closer to death. Ayur harati vaipumsam. One day closer to death. So 2017 ends, 2018 starts, 2017 will never come back. And we are, everyone is closer to death, one day more closer. And people do not know they are celebrating that. But Krishna's ending is not like this ending of 2017. Krishna's ending is what? Divyam. Janma karma cha me divyam. Evam yo veti tatvata. Anyone who understands properly Krishna's janma, karma, including ending, what happens? Tyaktva deham punarjanma. He does not take birth again. What to speak of Krishna's ending? Krishna's devotees also, they don't end like this. Like I remember, Janani Vaspu had come to our temple here. And one of our very, very senior leading congregation members, I would not take his name, very senior devotee here. Oh, everyone takes inspiration from this family. So this devotee's birthday was there on that day. Happened to be Sunday, Prabhuji also was there. So one devotee just pulled that devotee and said, Janani Vaspu, today is this devotee's birthday. So Janani Vaspu saw that and then he quoted this verse, Ayur Harati Vaipam Sam. And then he said, for a devotee, with every birthday, he is one day closer to Krishna. Not dead. So Krishna's devotee means for him is one day closer to Krishna. So we can see here very clearly that how the apparent killing of Krishna or his ending his pastimes are completely different from ending stories, disasters we hear in this material world. Someone may ask, how Krishna's killing can be madhuram? Tell us logically. Simple logic. Like for example, someone must have watched movie before becoming a devotee. Now movie, what happens? Sometimes people watch movie because they have taste for action. Action-packed movie. Action-packed movie means what? There has to be violence. There has to be killing. Right? You can't have action-packed where the hero just slaps someone and he falls down. There has to be killing. So in a movie, a hero kills so many people. Then he catches the villain and then thrashes him. And either kills him or whatever happens. You know, the story has to end, the villain has to be killed. Now when the killing apparently is taking place in the film, with hero killing so many villains, do people cry? In fact, they are so happy they clap. Well done. So if an ordinary film actor, when he's killing, you can clap. The main film actor of this whole universe, Krishna, if he kills, how it cannot be exciting? It is exciting. Therefore, it is external to see that Krishna's killing can be wrong. Krishna's killing is always special. Of course, Krishna's killing is as horrible as a killing thing. It's not like Krishna kills and there is no blood flow. And Krishna kills and suddenly what happens? The person just smiles and drops down, thank you Krishna, and he goes back to water. Not like that. It's horrible. It's a horrible thing. Like for example, it is mentioned Krishna's killing is given in various pages of Bhagavatam. So it is mentioned that Jarasandha with his mighty army came on the presence of kingdom of Mathura and he wanted to avenge the death of his son-in-law Kamsa. So what a huge army. So Krishna and Balaram saw this huge army. And then they told all the Mathura Vasis, you be here, you don't have to come out, we'll manage. So Krishna Balaram walk out alone. And Jarasandha is stupefied. What's happening? I got a huge army and these guys just came, two of them. Are they afraid? And then what happens? Jarasandha gives some gali to Krishna. And Krishna also gives gali, Kshatriya, courage, valor. And the fight begins. And it is mentioned, what happens in the fight? Krishna book describes details about that fighting. That when Krishna starts fighting, it is mentioned there is bloodshed. Not just bloodshed. So much of blood that there is a river, huge river of blood flowing through the middle of the army. And they have to swim and cross and then keep fighting. Blood. River of blood. Can you imagine? River of blood. And then Krishna, he almost completes the whole thing. Then Balaramji says, now my chance. And Balaramji begins. And then Balaramji fights. More killing. And Acharya has mentioned there was a river of blood. When Balaramji fought, there was flooding of the river. This is Krishna's killing. a description is given what was floating in the river. Just like there were weeds, there are grasses. It was heads of elephant, heads of horses, heads of soldiers. Graphic description. So Krishna's killing was also graphic, horrible. But the end result is, those who are killed by Krishna, they get benefit. Their material life is finished. They go back home, back to Godhead. Krishna is in Kurukshetra. And he arranges a beautiful plan of annihilating the entire army. 11 on Kaurava's side, Akshavani, 7 on Pandava's side. Everyone is gone. Only a few people, handful of people are there still. All are gone. And Prabhupada says, anyone who died on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Krishna saw that, they all went back home, back to Godhead. So Krishna's killing is there, definitely horrible, but the end result is very important. Then Krishna has Parshuram. He killed 21 times Kshatriya race. Horrible. But when someone ordinary gets killed, then he gets his karma and he goes to his forward journey. But when Krishna kills, he stops his forward journey. He makes him go back home, back to Godhead. That's Krishna's special touch. Everyone who died in Kurukshetra, died on the Mathura battle, went back home, back to Godhead. Krishna's killing is so special that it is very intricate. Krishna killed Shishupal. When Krishna killed Shishupal, Shishupal went back to Godhead. But Krishna also killed in such a way that he used his Sudarshan Chakra to chop his head. But not even one drop of blood fell on the floor. Head got chopped, but no blood fell down. Why? Because Krishna knew that this arena where the killing is supposed to be done, it's a very, very important religious arena where a yajna is going to get fulfilled, you know. Yudhishthira Maharaj and everyone assemble for a yajna. If one drop of blood falls here, what happens? Finish. Restart. Wash the whole thing. Maybe it will take a long time to restart again. So Krishna knows that. So he kills Shishupal. Shishupal is gone. No drop of blood falls. Krishna helps Arjuna kill the Jayadratha. He tells Arjuna, you kill Jayadratha in such a way, chop his head with your arrow, but the head should not fall on the ground. The head should travel all the way and fall on the lap of Jayadratha's father. And then you know the story that what happened. Jayadratha's father, his head got completely burnt off. So Krishna's touch is very special. Everything about him is sweet. It's perfect. Therefore, we should know that if you want to know about Krishna, one need to be Krishna's devotee. Krishna himself says in Bhagavad Gita, avajananti mam mudha manushim tanumashitam. Avajananti. One who does not know me, he is a fool. And he considers me having a human form. Manushim tanum ashritam. Tanu is body. I am in a human body, he thinks. But the same Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita again, bhaktya mam abhijanati. Only a devotee can know me. Only a devotee can understand my pastimes. So here is Krishna Leela which we are discussing. And without being Krishna's devotee, we will not be able to understand this Krishna's very difficult pastime of Krishna killing his own dynasty. So in the outside world we see, people say that Krishna died. Is it not? I remember I had gone to Prabhashetra where this pastime took place. The Yatra to Somnath. So that there's a place there which is called as Dehotsarga Tirtha. And that is a place where Krishna left, you know. So there's a board which is written here. Krishna died here on 18 February and so on, such a year. I think Krishna died here, you know. If it's a museum in Mumbai, I understand. But something on the very place where Krishna left, that's a Tirtha place, pilgrimage, and someone writes Krishna died here. Of course, it's tourism department. They do not know what is Krishna's appearance. No one writes Krishna's disappearance place. If it comes under ISKCON, you write Krishna's disappearance place. You know. In Mathura, we say Krishna Janmabhumi. Is it not? That's the language people understand. So Krishna Janmabhumi. Should Krishna's Avataran Bhumi, right? But in normal terms, Krishna's death, Krishna's Janma. But we should know Krishna's Janma and Krishna's leaving or killing, everything is transcendental. Krishna cannot die, or Krishna's devotees cannot die like an ordinary person. If you analyze death, death is very, very fearsome. Very painful. People are always in fear and anxiety when they're about to die. Only in films we see people die smiling. Peacefully. Sometimes in Tata also. But only in films. In real life, maximum people die out of anxiety, sheer, constant tormentation. Those are devotees here sitting, they may understand this. And they see every day, death, birth, old age, disease, hospital. So, you see, death is very cruel, very fearsome. But we see that how for devotees of Krishna, when they leave their body, they are completely confident. Why? Because they know they are going to Krishna. Like for example, when Maharaj Parikshit, he heard the curse, 7 days, seven nights, you're going to die. Did he go to some insurance company? What exactly people do, you know? People go to some doctors, can you increase my lifespan? He never did like that. He had a power to even counteract the curse, but he did not. He took it as Krishna's will. And he left his kingdom and went on the banks of Ganges to hear Krishna Katha. That's Maharaj Parikshit's confidence. Srila Prabhupada in his last days, Vrindavan, 1977. One very dear friend of Prabhupada, you know. He came and asked Prabhupada, Bhaktivedanta Swamiji, aapki kya ichha hai? What is your desire? You're going to leave, looks like that. What is your last wish? And Prabhupada is in ISKCON, he is building up ISKCON still. ISKCON is not fully built up. So many projects are still lying and incomplete. And Prabhupada was directing them all, and suddenly Prabhupada is in death bed here now. Prabhupada is about to leave. So many desires should be in Prabhupada. I have to do this, I have to do that. Prabhupada said, koi ichha nahi. No ichha, my God. Who can say like that? Only a pure devotee who is completely attached to Krishna. When he is dying, he knows. Whatever Krishna wanted me to do, I have done. Now Krishna, what you want me to do, I'll do now. That's it. And still at the fag end of his life, he was doing what? He was translating Srimad Bhagavatam. A famous photo where Prabhupada is completely bedridden. Can't move. And Jayadeva Swami keeps a dictaphone in Prabhupada's mouth. And Prabhupada is speaking in 10 canto 14 chapter verses per quote. Amazing. So his only desire till the end of life was, whatever my spiritual master has told me, I will execute till the very end of his life. So an acharya is teaching by his example how he is still attached to his spiritual master at the end of his life, fulfilling his instruction. Not that initially we need spiritual master and then we become a good devotees and then we figure out how we can do our own selves. Our own acharya, Srila Prabhupada, founder acharya, till the fag end of his life, he is completely doing what his spiritual master wanted him focused. So Krishna's pure devotees, when they die, they have a different death. So how can when Krishna die, he can have a normal, ordinary death? In fact, when Krishna, not just he arranges for good and very nice journey for his devotees from this world to the next world, Krishna also has demonstrated in the pages of Bhagavatam that how he has even saved people from the clutches of death and brought them back. Like when Sandipani Muni was there and Krishna was in his ashram and Krishna fully completed his studies. It was a crash course. He completed his studies in 64 days. And then time for Guru Dakshina came. So the wife of Sandipani Muni, she said that, what Guru Dakshina you can ask from Krishna? You know, he has everything in this world. But you should ask something which he can do, which others can't do. So she was very much in tears because she had lost her son. Said, can you ask if Krishna can bring our son back? Krishna said, oh, no problem. Then Krishna and Balaram go to the ocean where apparently a child got lost. Then they call anyone here, where is the child? No one responds. Krishna and Balaram enter the ocean. And Krishna and Balaram, the whole ocean, can you imagine the whole ocean? Krishna knows where to go. In the whole ocean, they go to that place where Pancha Jana Rakshas is living there, a demon. Who had actually eaten the son of Sandipani Muni. So Krishna fights a battle with Pancha Jana, and kills him, and his body is like a conch shell. And Krishna lifts the conch shell, that's become Pancha Janya, that's become his conch shell. But Krishna says that there is nothing remaining in the body of Panchajana. So Krishna understands that his gross body is gone, but subtle body still has to be there. So Krishna then goes to Yamaloka, hoping that the subtle body of Sandipani Muni's son will be there. So Krishna goes to Yamaloka, and now Krishna wants to announce to Yamaraj that he has come. So Krishna picks up that Panchajana Shankh and he blows. As soon as he blows, whatever sinful reactions everyone was getting in the Yamaloka planet, someone was being cooked, someone was being whatever, you know, everything stopped. And immediately everyone got liberated. The hell became completely empty. So Yamaraj said, oh, why you came here? I said, oh, I have come for Sandipani Muni's son. So Yamaraj immediately bought the son and gave him. So Krishna got the son back from death. Krishna got the son back to Sandipani Muni. This is Krishna. Who can bring someone from death? Ajamil was dying. Guaranteed going to Yamaraj. Yamalok was guaranteed. He just chanted Narayan. Krishna intervened. Sent his Vishnudutas and stopped his death. Lord Shiva, who is considered to be controller of death, it is said Lord Shiva, see, Yamadutas, they come and capture all of us, take us when we die. But Shiva and his Dutas, they capture Yamadutas when they die. So he is a lord of death also. But that Shiva was conquered by Krishna in the Yuddha of Banasur, in the battle of Banasur. And also Krishna also got 6 sons of Devaki back when Devaki heard that Sandipani Muni's son has come. So she said to Krishna that, you know, I have never ever got a chance to feed milk to my 6 sons who were killed by Kamsa. Can they come for a short time and I can feed them? Krishna went all the way to Patal Loka, brought those 6 sons and they get. And because Krishna drank milk from Devaki's breast, what happened is then when the 6 sons of Devaki drank the milk, they got purified because they got Mahamilk. They got purified and they went back to their own position. So their curse, Terim, they had a curse also that got deleted. Krishna is going to also demonstrate that the person who is going to shoot an arrow at his feet and apparently be going to be the reason for his departure, Jara, hunter. Even that hunter, when he understood that I have pierced Krishna's toe with my arrow, he came and he offered obeisances, Dandavat Pranam, please forgive me. Krishna says, don't worry, you are just a nimitta matra, you are just an instrument, I am orchestrating. In fact, thank you very much for doing this nimitta matra. And Krishna arranged, immediately a Vaikuntha Viman came. Jara in his self same body sat on the Vaikuntha Viman and went home back to Godhead. So one who is apparently Krishna's cause of death, he goes back to Godhead, overcomes death in his self same body. So therefore Krishna's even lifting back people back from death is amazing about that. So Krishna's leaving or Krishna's dying is actually perfect planning. It's in Krishna's script. It's in Krishna's script. We don't have anyone ever planning his own death, is it not? Can we ever plan? Can we ever think when we're going to die, what will happen to us, how we die, where we die? Cannot. But Krishna plans. When the battlefield of Kurukshetra is over, how Krishna planned, now time has come, we have to leave. Krishna tells the Pandavas, Mara Yudhishthira is saying to Krishna that now the battle is over. Duryodhana is also dead. Now we'll have to go and tell this news to Dhritarashtra and Gandhari. So I will go and tell this news. Krishna stopped him. He said, this is not your work. Gandhari is not in a good mood to hear that. And she may even revolt also. So you don't go. You stay here. I will go. Krishna knew that he has to go because he needs a reason also to end his pastime. So Krishna goes and very, very nonchalantly says, Gandhari, do you know your son is dead? They are lost. And Gandhari becomes so angry. Immediately he said, Krishna, you are so happy telling me that my sons have died, my dynasty is finished. I'll curse you that one day you will see your own dynasty getting finished. And Krishna said to Gandhari, thank you. So Krishna planned that. Krishna wanted that to happen. Then Krishna had to leave. So Krishna decides he wants to leave. So where should he leave? So he leaves Dwarka. He doesn't want bloodshed in Dwarka. He takes them to another holy place, Prabhashetra. Planning. Perfect planning. And Krishna gets hit on his toes by an arrow. If you go to Swamnath, you will see that these two places where Krishna disappeared actually And Krishna was hit by the arrow very far away. Almost like, you know, you will travel in bus for 15-20 minutes. But Krishna was hit by arrow. Then he walked all the way from that place to this place where he was supposed to live. And where he left in a very serene place, you know, on the banks of three rivers meeting. And there is three rivers still there. Hiranya River, Kapila River, and there is underground Saraswati River meeting the ocean. Beautiful place. Krishna chose a very serene, very nice place to leave this world. Balaramji also came to that place and he left from this world. Krishna's planning. He chooses how, where, how to leave. People don't have that choice. We as devotees may also wish, you know, one day when we die, let's die in Vrindavan, let's die in Aragopinath temple. We may plan all that, but we are still not, I mean, we plan, but we don't know if it will happen or not. Is it not? Sometimes we see devotees apparently staying in Vrindavan for many years and suddenly go out of Vrindavan and die outside Vrindavan. That's their plan. They want to stay eternally all throughout their life, Vrindavan, die in Vrindavan. It doesn't happen like that. In other hand, some people are not staying in Vrindavan. Krishna gets them in Vrindavan and die. 2 years back we saw Gaur Krishna Maharaj, amazing Vaishnava, preaching all over the world, Bhagavat. Kartiki comes to Vrindavan, leaves his body in Vrindavan. Just 20-25 days supposed to Vrindavan, in that he dies. No one thinks, everyone is shocked, but everyone reconciles. Maharaj, such a wonderful personality, called by Krishna in Kartik month, in Namodar month, and in all the Vaishnavas came, did last rites, special. Brahmanand Prabhu did so much of service to Prabhupada. He was in Vrindavan, last time, almost at the end of his life. And he was like so much serious. Devotees were taking him in an ambulance to Delhi for treatment. He said, forget it, I won't go. He said, he will die, no problem. He continues, in the evening he leaves his body in Vrindavan. Maybe one more devotee, Surabhi Prabhu, who we have 40th anniversary of Radha Ras Bihari coming up now in 14th January. She was the main person who designed the whole temple. She designed that temple, designed Krishna Balaram temple. And he apparently is in Hong Kong. He has to come for a few days in Vrindavan and then go back to USA. He comes to Vrindavan, leaves his body in Vrindavan. So we plan, but doesn't happen. Krishna's plan prevails. But Krishna plans and he plans, his plan prevails. It happens. So we find here that how, when Krishna is making his plan, it's proper, it's done. Even Krishna's apparent killing is planned by him. Apparent execution of his own devotees is planned by him. So this is something about, little about this particular pastime of Krishna's ending his leela. And apparently, I was also thinking that, you know, this is year ending. In Bhagavatam, this is Krishna's pastime ending. And also because we are part of book distribution preaching department, also wanted to, we are also ending our book distribution marathon 2017. So this week is the last week. So everything is ending, but we should end everything in a very good note, right? So on the behalf of book distribution preaching department we have in temple, we want to thank all of you for your wonderful participation in book distribution marathon. It was indeed a very good marathon, very happy, very sweet, memorable marathon for more devotees. And I hope you all enjoyed this marathon. Just a week remaining more. Keep continuing distributing books, Srila Prabhupada's books. And we are very grateful to Srila Prabhupada that he gave us chance to distribute his books. You know, it's not an easy thing to distribute literatures which are very sacred, very spiritual literatures. But the whole idea is Prabhupada wanted this world to be a better place. Not to stay here, but till we are here, we can actually execute Krishna consciousness. We can follow Krishna consciousness. So we are grateful to Srila Prabhupada. We are also grateful to Bhaktivedanta Book Trust. Because all we see is we get books when we want, is it not? But behind the back, behind the doors, we find Bhaktivedanta Book Trust devotees painstakingly actually going and manuscripts printing, then stacking them in godown and transporting them, keeping the accounts. Whenever we need, we just make a call and few days the books come to our temple. So it's very easy that a book comes, we pick it up, we read and distribute. But behind the bag is actually a big whole assembly of book distribution done by Bhaktivedanta Book Trust. So we thank them also. So we are very again grateful to all of you for participation book distribution marathon. The score is not yet come because devotees are still trying to settle their accounts. We hope and pray that by January 1st week we can announce our scores on 7th. On 6th Shivaji Park Rath Yatra, on 7th is Radhanath Maharaj will be here along with Shyam Sundar Prabhu. Shyam Sundar Prabhu will be releasing his own book, beautiful book, Chasing Rhinos with the Swami. It's a book on Prabhupada. He has written his own memories. So on that day we'll also announce the score, Krishna willing, if everyone settles the account. So thank you so much for your wonderful patient hearing, listening. We have some time. We can take one question or else we can go for Krishna's Madhur Prasad. Hare Krishna. Any comments, questions? Okay, thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.